B-Pod Studios.
And now,
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think that Bill was free to find the deal that he wanted, and he approached the 49ers. He sent Kyle Shanahan a text. And when they connected, he basically threw the offer out there. And so 2 weeks earlier, though, they had had a meeting where they were discussing quarterbacks, and the meeting went long. And, you know, people in the office were wondering what was going on because Bill's meetings kept getting canceled that day. And Bill and Kraft have met more this year than in previous years. And Bill came out of that meeting, I think, feeling backed into a corner that he was going to have to trade Garoppolo. And I don't think that, like, you know, it was a long meeting. These guys have been around each other for a long time. I don't think that Kraft ordered him to do something. I think that the combination of everything, Garoppolo rejecting all of these offers that definitely were made to him, and, you know, people not knowing if Jimmy was going to be there, the way that Tom was playing, the loyalty to Tom, I think that Kraft made a decision, a football decision, for the first time in a long time, saying that, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo was not going to be in our long-term plans.
So Seth Wickersham, a couple of years ago, his great story in January of 2018, a lot of it came to fruition. And now here it is come to fruition with Jimmy Garoppolo returning to the Patriots as a member of the 49ers. Opens up just a big discussion about how the Patriots have handled this quarterback transition. And we're delving into most of it. Again, the facilitation possibilities are just through the roof. But so here we are, and I'll ask, and I'll answer. Okay, we're all going to answer this.
Okay, you go first this time.
Okay, we're all going to answer. And we can save our long answers and the explanations therein for later, but just, you know, as close to a yes or no as we can get.
All right.
So here's the money question. If the Pats had just hung on to Garoppolo at that trade deadline in 2017, remember, after that season, after the Eagles Super Bowl loss, Brady went to Kraft and said, I want out, according to Jeff Benedict and this new Dynasty Patriots book, which was obviously Kraft approved. Okay, so we pretty much take that as a fact. That's where Giselle said we're sick of him being treated like effing Johnny Foxborough. So the fall of 2017, you traded Garoppolo at the trade deadline. That offseason, Brady asked out. If you had just hung on to Jimmy Garoppolo and let Brady walk, would you be better off right now at the quarterback position? Would you be in a better position at the QB spot? Yes or no?
Yes.
No.
Yes, obviously you would be in a better spot. Mm. Why do you say,
Because I don't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think that he's very good. He had one chance and he blew it.
Okay, can't you say the exact same thing about Cam Newton?
Well, I don't really want him here either.
Well, so that's what I'm saying to you now. I mean, that's what you're left with. This is their spot at quarterback.
Well, again, I know you don't allow for nuance. I feel like, I'll give you this. It would be more secure. It would be more structured. Likely. This feels like a mess right now with the way that Newton's played the last couple of games.
It's not just that. You hold against Garoppolo how he played in that Super Bowl. Why don't you do the same thing for Newton, who quit in his Super Bowl?
He was an MVP. He actually got some hardware there.
He quit. No, but you just hold the singular Super Bowl against Garoppolo and really that last pass or that last quarter.
Well, and other things too. I mean, he was basically a sidecar to that team that made the Super Bowl last year. I'm just not a Garoppolo guy. I think he's just meh. He's dollar store Tony Romo.
I just think the whole thing, you know, Bill had it set up the way he wanted. And again, whether Garoppolo was Brady or not, he was good. He was a good player in their system and it worked.
The question is, would you be better off right now if they had just hung on to Garoppolo? The answer is obviously yes. That's not to say you'd be in a great spot, okay? It's just, would you be better than what you are right now with a Cam Newton who, I'm sorry, I don't know which way the arrow is pointing on him right now. I don't.
So to me, they'd be meh. And I think they're meh right now.
Okay, I think they'd be better off. Even if they are in worse shape, okay, which I think they probably are, okay, even if they are in worse shape, was it still worth it? Was it still worth the trade-off of two more years with Tom Brady and a sixth title versus, call it 10 years with Garoppolo or eight or six or whatever you want to say Garoppolo's run would have been? Is it worth passing on the next guy to get two more years out of Brady and a Super Bowl?
My answer is no, because as you said, it was a sixth title. If it was their first title, I might feel differently. In fact, I probably would feel differently. So to me, that one's a little different. But as your sixth title, when you had the chance to extend the window for another, call it a decade if you want. To me, the title was not worth it, no.
Yes, it was. I don't trade trade championships for maybe.
So my answer is no. I trade my sixth championship for maybe, because maybe's coming at some point anyway. Maybe's coming. So maybe is here. When Brady, you know, he was going to retire at some point, you're going to be dealing with a maybe. And so once the five is in the bank and you've the greatest football team in the history of the sport, which is what you had established after five, the rest is gravy. And if you got your next guy and you can extend it, you know, 10 years, you do it. That's what I do. Third question. Would you take Garoppolo back as the quarterback of the future? His guaranteed money is up in San Francisco. He becomes tradable. The Niners even looked at it this past offseason when Brady wanted to go there. If Garoppolo becomes available again this offseason, would you bring him back?
Murray?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Hell yes.
I mean, so to me, this is like the critical question to the whole thing is, what is your long-term plan right now? And they don't have one.
Draft.
Yeah, and well, but that takes a little while, Murray. I mean, you know, Garoppolo was in the system 2 years before he started. And even then, it was because Brady was suspended. But nonetheless, what we saw what he could do at that stage. So it takes a little while to ramp up. Like, I just think...
So now he's going to come back to a system that they've tinkered with and screwed with because they signed Cam Newton and they have the suckiest wide receiver core in the NFL. So he's going to come here and be a savior and it's all going to be fixed?
Well, you make a lot of changes to your team. That's just one of them. You know, you'd have to improve the weaponry. I don't think there's any question about that.
Oh, but I never said anything about him saving the team.
No, I just... To me,
it was implied.
It would... To me, I don't like where they are long term. And this was the question at the time, really, which was, were you willing to sacrifice a little bit of the short term, which was Brady's window, for a much longer long term? And my answer at the time was yes. Yes. And if Stidham had worked out, I'd tell you, if we could count on Jarrett Stidham right now being the guy in 2021, I would tell you Pats are fine. They leave it on their feet.
And this ties into it. And I'd say even Newton. If Newton looked good and was signable and you could get him for the next 3 years and he gave you everything you needed, then you'd say you landed on your feet. You got the best of both worlds. You got the end of Brady's window and you got the next guy. And okay, so Garoppolo, see you later. All good. The point is, here it looks like Stidham's a bust. And Newton, again, it's a little scary which way the arrow's pointing on him right now. And if it starts to point back up and he has a great year, comes back and has a great year, you then have to pay him. And I don't know if they want to pay the guy.
Well, so to me, that's the part with Newton that I don't like. It feels to me like they're flying by the seat of their pants and they don't have control over the situation.
It feels like they're in no man's land with quarterback right now.
They're reacting. They're not proacting, if that's even a word.
So I would take him back, which leads to this next question. Garoppolo or Newton? Who's better? Who do you like? Who would you want for the next couple of years? Garoppolo, just I'll give it to you, turns 29 in 2 weeks. I'm sure Maz and Bill are already, you know, reading their birthday cards and whatnot. Well wishes. Garoppolo, 29 in 2 weeks.
I'm going to sext with him.
And he's, and you know, I mean, let's just say you trade for him and give him his current contract. He's going to make $24 million each of the next 2 years. Newton is 31, turns 32 in the spring. And you'd have to franchise tag him next year, call that 30-plus, or sign him for a couple of years at least that. Okay, so 2 years, 60, 3 years, 75, you know, something in that range. Who do you want?
Jimmy.
Why?
Because I think he's a better fit. I think he's a better fit for what Bill wants to do. There's a familiarity there. And again, Newton's career is better. Newton has had a more accomplished career than Cam Newton. Fact, not even debatable. It's not even... But going forward with Belichick, the kind of offense that they want to run, his familiarity with Garoppolo, I'll take that. I told you at the time when they were on the, you know, potentially in the free agent market, and ultimately they were, I thought Dalton was a better fit than Cam Newton. So I feel the same way. I think Garoppolo and Belichick works. I think it works. In the same way I would tell you Nick Foles with Frank Reich. Fine. It worked. It worked in Philly. Put it back together. Absolutely Garoppolo.
I got to pick one or the other.
Correct.
Fine, Garoppolo, I suppose.
Wow, Murray. That shows some movement.
Seriously, that's growth, Murray.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. You're maturing right before our eyes.
Show you some tube and growth, too, if you want.
So why do you say that, though?
Because I hate this offense. I'm with Joe Murray, and he took a beating when he was on the air the last couple of weeks and over the postgame, too. Like I hate this, like, 1950s seal here, seal there. We're going to just try to ground and pound, bully ball. Like, it doesn't work for me. And so I don't know if Cam Newton is shot with the shoulder or... He's just, something's off there with the tip passes and everything. Like, I just don't think he's a very good passer. So Garoppolo would work better in this system over the last 20 years, what you had prior to this year. So, yes, Garoppolo over Cam Newton,
okay,
I suppose.
Well, there we go. All right, movement. Rare on this program.
Little Jimmy's growing up.
Here's the last question. Should San Francisco have taken Brady back this past offseason and traded Garoppolo back to you?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
They're gutless cowards.
Gutless cowards.
I mean, they haven't won in 25 years.
And what they don't really believe in him, or the coach doesn't fully believe in him as it is.
That's evident.
I'm talking about Shanahan and Garoppolo.
Yep.
And again, I fought this last year because I think people say he threw like, what, 8 passes against the Packers in the NFC title game? But the Niners also averaged, I think, 10 yards a carry.
It was ridiculous.
So, like, I wouldn't throw if, you know, Joe Montana or Tom Brady were my quarterback. If I'm averaging 10 yards on the ground at first down every time you hand the ball off, I'd never throw it. So, I fought that. But then we got to the Super Bowl, and they totally shriveled and totally took it out of Garoppolo's hands. It was the end of the second quarter, right? They had a chance to score points, and they, you know, you just went to the locker room. So, Shanahan clearly doesn't have full trust in Garoppolo. So, why are you hanging on to that, especially when you're earmarked for this hangover year after the way that ended? I think the Niners are pork this year. That classic case of bad loss in the Super Bowl leaves a mark the next year, and maybe you'll never hear from him again, but certainly not this year. So you change the juju. You change the whole thing. Garoppolo and Shanahan ain't going to work long term. I'm sorry. Especially not this year. So you bring Brady back there on that storyline. That changes the whole stink of the Super Bowl loss. Garoppolo gets out of the Super Bowl loss because he comes back here for Belichick. That's what they should have done.
I mean, to me, again, their situation completely different than the Patriots. They haven't won in 25 years. And boy, does anybody leave quarterbacks in his wake like Shanahan? Matt Ryan, Jimmy G. Oh, boy.
So look, here we are now 3 years later. It's come home to roost. It's come home to roost. As Wickersham just said, and as he wrote in his great story, 2 weeks before the November 1 trading deadline in 2017, Belichick met with Kraft to discuss the quarterback situation. According to staffers, the meeting ran long, lasting half the day and pushing back Belichick's other meetings. The office was buzzing. The meeting ended with a clear mandate to Belichick: trade Garoppolo because he would not be in the team's long-term plans. And then once again, find the best quarterback to draft and develop him. Belichick was furious and demoralized, according to friends. But in the end, he did what he asks of his players and coaches. He did his job and traded Jimmy Garoppolo. And 3 years later, he has no quarterback and no plan. And so is this whole thing now coming home to roost? And Brady, you know, sort of kicked his way out of town, if you will. So those are your questions. I want your answers, and I promise you've all been waiting there. We'll get back to your calls on this. We also have some stuff on bets coming up later this hour, but that's all after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Garoppolo down the field and wide open, and that will be a touchdown for Marquise Goodwin. Garoppolo throwing at the goal line. Touchdown. Garoppolo has time. Stands in. Going deep. Going for it all. And it's caught for the touchdown. Garoppolo for the end zone. Touchdown 49ers.
Garoppolo keeps playing. Passes caught. Touchdown.
8-0. How does that feel?
Feels great, baby.
I never wanted you to be gone. They made me trade you because of Tom. Lord, I miss you.
He's got a lot of qualities that, you know, we admire in a quarterback.
I'll keep texting with my phone when you make a perfect throw. Jimmy, I miss you.
He's just so good.
From tremendous piece there by Big Jim Murray. All right, as promised, to your phones. A lot have been waiting very patiently. Thanks for hanging on. If you've nodded off, wake up. If you've gone to the other side of the room, go back to your phone. If you're on mute, unmute it, because we're going to you. Derek in New Hampshire, what do you got?
I'm suspicious about your reasoning, Felger, that the Patriots would have been better off for the next decade with Garoppolo, not Brady, and the 49ers would have been better off for the next decade with Brady, not Garoppolo.
I didn't say decade. Whoa, just stop. It's 2 or 3 years with Brady, not a decade. But go ahead.
Is it possible Bill put Jimmy in San Francisco to be physically preserved through a game management style of quarterback play until he could bring Jimmy back to New England?
No. He's not thinking like that. What? I'll send him to San Fran because I know Kyle Shanahan will keep him in bubble wrap and he'll be preserved, so when I bring him back, he'll be healthy. I mean, that's stupid. And it also failed because Garoppolo continues to get all banged up.
I mean, one of the things that never ceases to blow me away is how people think Bill Belichick can see 4 years into the future and control the actions of every other human being on the planet.
He traded him to San Francisco because he wanted to do Garoppolo a solid. He had other teams that were interested in the player that would have given him a higher draft pick, but he wanted to do right by Jimmy because he loves the guy. Okay, that's what happened. Unbelievably. He did not accept a first-round pick from Cleveland or even pick up the phone because he didn't want to send Jimmy to Cleveland. Cam and Taunton. Go ahead, Cam.
Felger, could you just explain to me what your obsession with, like Murray said last hour, where these crap bag quarterbacks are?
I don't know what it is, but I do. I do have a hankering for lousy quarterbacks. It's true.
Yeah, like, you were interested, like Tom Brady, no. Cam Newton, no. Give me some freaking Andy Dalton, or give me Brian Hoyer, or Mitch Trubisky, or these. This is what I mean, Felger, when there's faith in Bill, and this is why I email you. You want to order the Belichick at the Orchids of Asia. Like, for God's sakes. Like, would you just, like, there's faith in Bill, and then there's taking it too far. Mike, was that Kansas City game not enough evidence for you that he can't do it with a bum?
No, it wasn't, because if the bum just...
What?
Yes, if the bum... I mean, Brian Hoyer was almost there. If he doesn't have those three plays, he's sort of done what he's asked to do, and you do almost pull that out.
But he did have those three plays.
Okay, but I think that...
And he's had them his whole career.
Well, that's unfortunate, I know. But... That game actually kind of proved my point, or it's my template. You know, there's not a quarterback out there that can just do all that stuff but not absolutely shart himself in his pants when he gets into the red zone.
There is.
There is.
Yeah, his name is Alex Smith.
Or Alex Smith, Andy Dalton. Like, I don't know. That guy has to exist.
Yeah, he does exist. And again, with Bill, that guy can probably win.
Did you not see Dalton in the red zone in this Monday night game the other night?
He's awful.
Hoyer's a bum, though.
Hoyer's a bum. The Dalton thing, you blood me on Andy Dalton the other day. Did you watch that game?
Yeah, wide open in the end zone. I forget what wide receiver was. Clang right off the guy's hands because the ball was a little high.
It was not
on the wide receiver. The ball was a little high.
It was a little high. It was off his hands. Do you think Andy Dalton had anything to do with that game the other night?
Yeah, it's just the aura of Dalton. Like, if you're a teammate of him, you just know you got no chance.
Oh, would you stop it?
He's 2-8 in Monday night games, and now after that one, he's the guy sucks.
Just remember, Marvin Lewis won with him.
That thing had nothing.
What did he win with him?
Well, they won 10 games a year for 4 years or whatever.
This is a sidebar. That game had nothing to do with Andy Dalton. Nothing. Zero. Mm. The Cowboys are a freaking mess all over there. They're the worst defense in the league, and the running back put it on the ground twice in consecutive plays. Like, what are we talking about here? And every time I looked up, Andy Dalton was getting bull rushed by a guy unblocked. It was ridiculous.
And by the way, just to clarify, when I say if you get a guy who's mistake-free, it manages the game that Bill can win with him, I'm not necessarily talking about Super Bowls. I've said this, and I will stick to this until someone proves me otherwise. Bill can get you to 10-6, maybe even 11-5. The quarterback puts you over the top.
Okay, yeah. Some years, Andy Dalton could have beaten that Rams team. I mean, so in that game, the way the Patriots played on defense,
yes. Yeah, but he wouldn't have won in Kansas City.
Hell no. Okay, so with you there. The Mitch Trubisky thing. We believe Jimmy Stewart's phone says that Gilmore is on the block right now. Stephon Gilmore is being shopped. He is being talked about in trades up until the NFL trade deadline in 2 weeks. And Chicago is one of the teams that said to be interested. So I said a first to Mitch Trubisky. And the Mitch Trubisky doesn't become your guy. I'm not saying like you build the whole thing around Mitch Trubisky.
You want him to, though.
I think to take a flyer on him as a throw-in in a trade when you have no quarterback, you've got to cast a wide net and start taking some chances. Or you're taking some flyers, I mean, anyway. Like, you're not investing in the guy. But maybe you catch lightning in a bottle. You don't have anyone.
Would you rather have picks or the ashtray change that is Mitch Trubisky? Even if that's like a third rounder or fourth rounder.
I'd rather have Trubisky than a fourth rounder.
You're crazy.
See, what I hate more than anything else.
Or a third rounder for that matter.
Is that we're at the point where we have to have this discussion. This is my whole point with Garoppolo.
This is the Garoppolo discussion.
Right, that you are now in an area where it's, well, now you got to cast a wide net. Now you got to bring in Josh Rosen when his name was the popular one. Or Mitch Trubisky and take a flyer on him.
Belichick has said it a million times. He said it the day they drafted Garoppolo. You'd rather be early than late. You don't want to be without a quarterback. It's not fair to your franchise. You can't do that. In fact, even in this Wickersham story, they talk about the Brissett trade. In early September, Belichick did trade, and again, this is back in 2017, he did trade third-string quarterback Jacoby Brissett to the Colts for wide receiver Philip Dorsett. Quote, if we trade Jimmy, we're the Cleveland Browns with no succession plan. One person inside the organization said early in the year. So this is a bit, you know, this is the exact thing that they feared. They have no plan. They have no path.
No, there is no succession plan. That was what they gave up. And look, this is, to me, this type of stuff is always a pay now or pay later. And so you know what? Patriots fans at that time decided, Robert Kraft decided they were going to pay later, which is fine. That's okay. But now the bill has come due. Yeah, and here you go. You got to pay.
And you ignore those phone calls like I do with my bills. You enjoyed that at the time and just keep hanging up on them.
Dan in Rhode Island, go.
I would have been one of the hang-ups. Hey, real quick, before I defend Garoppolo, I want to defend Adam Schefter real quick. Perella makes it, this has been going on forever. So when Belichick was asked about trading Garoppolo before the draft, he wouldn't give him away because he knew he was going to keep him, right?
That's right.
After the meeting, he traded him. The dynamic changed. So obviously it's not going to be the same set of scenarios, but Schefter still gets the shaft. Because everyone says it.
Well, no. Schefter was right.
He was right. Schefter was right.
That's what I mean.
If it were up to Bill, he would not have traded Garoppolo for four first-round picks. The owner stepped
firm on that.
Yeah, right. Exactly, Adam. The owner stepped in. The owner stepped in.
Do I sound clear on that?
You do, Adam.
But to Dan's point, Paul said, "Well, we know that Adam Schefter was wrong.
He wasn't wrong.
Perillo said that.
Believe what you want to believe."
But no. Schefter had it right. Bill got overruled.
I don't think the Patriots ever considered trading him.
I mean, Schefter could not have been stronger on that.
I mean,
where do you think it came from?
I still don't believe that people are fighting this whole idea that Bill loved Garoppolo and didn't want to move him. Why would people still hold on to that? Belichick.
Can I make my point about?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I will just tell you this for a fact, not an alternative fact.
I thought that was the caller.
No. It's our Schefter drops. You got any more? That's it?
Mike, I'm up. Still there?
Yes, Dan, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As far as the Super Bowl goes, Mike, I agree with you about holding him back. I hate Kyle Shanahan. Everybody in the world, including the GM, John Lynch, is saying at the end of the first half, what the hell are you doing by not calling a timeout? So they ran, and then remember he floated in a beautiful pass to Kittle on the 15-yard line for offensive pass interference?
I don't remember that play.
You guys don't remember that? He threw the one, so he finally decided he could throw with about 30 seconds left. He threw a beautiful pass to Kittle at the 15-yard line, which was called for offensive pass interference. If they kick a field goal, all they need at the end of the game is a field goal to win, not a touchdown. Kyle Shanahan and the defense giving up a 3rd and 15 to Tyreek Hill are just as much to blame as Jimmy was in that Super Bowl. Can't deny it. Watch a game and you'll feel the same way.
Okay, Murray, you want to deny it?
Yes. Yeah, no, I remember that game. He missed a wide-open Emmanuel Sanders. He was a jittery idiot at the most important time of the game, and he blew it, and he'll never get back there again. Period, end of story. It's so, I don't know, look, I get it. Everyone's stressed out. Everyone's lost their minds because of the pandemic. I don't ask for much, guys. With Garoppolo, all I ask for is, Jim, you're right. You were right. Jim, comma, you were right. Period. That's it. Well, all you're going to say about Garoppolo.
But say your mission. What's your thesis on Garoppolo? And I'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
He's low rent dollar store Tony Romo. That's it. Like, you might be 9-7, 10-6. You'll kind of compete with him. You're never going to win, Jack.
What was San Fran last year? 12-4,
13-3,
or 13-3, Murray. Well, wow. You just said 10-6.
Fine. Okay. Oh yeah, he might overachieve 1 year. 12-4. I think Romo had one of those years too in 2007, and then he crapped his pants against the Giants in the playoffs.
I think you've had it wrong on Garoppolo.
I don't think
you're right about it.
What happened in February? And you obviously, do you need another Blinani?
Well, I mean, you're right about the game.
Do I have to bring in a wave machine?
No. If you predicted him to crap his pants in the Super Bowl, you're absolutely right. But I think you're wrong on him as a player. I think he's pretty good.
When you really need it, and Jimmy Garoppolo's the man, he will fail you. That's the other. There's the thesis.
So look, we got another, you know, 5-10 years to figure that out.
Yeah, you might be right. In the interim.
Might's an added word you don't need there.
Okay. In the interim, the Patriots don't have a quarterback. They don't have one. They don't have one right now that looks like he can play in the league or play for Bill for any length of time.
Well, then Bill needs to look himself in the mirror and say, sorry, I did this to myself. I should have been nicer to the greatest quarterback of all time who should still be here.
No.
Maybe he'd still be motivated and would still be winning.
The owner should look at Bill and say, you were right. You were right. Because 6 months after we traded Garoppolo, 6 months, 6 months after Brady was in my ear chirping about the fact that Jimmy was still here, we traded Jimmy. 6 months later, Brady came and asked out. He asked out 6 months later. Well, you were right,
put
Bill.
Put a real contract in front of him. Maybe he would still.
You're right, Bill. You're right.
This has all come home to roost. And you know what? If this show were in Germany, what would it sound like, Jimmy, if this show were being done in Germany? Do we know that?
He had the guy.
Yeah. I don't forget where we even had that from.
I thought it was the Netherlands, but we had it somewhere.
They had the guy.
German Maz would say what, Murray?
It's fair.
Oh, right.
I'm sorry to go back to it, Mike. They had the guy. They had him. They had never drafted him. They never had a quarterback until the second round. They had the guy after Brady. Bill had found the guy. I'm telling you, Mike. I hate to go back to it. But they had him. They had him in Garoppolo.
Exactly. So I do love it. But it's here. This is the week to do it. This is the week to do it. And we're never shy to go back to this. But here it is right in your kisser. This is what Bill was afraid of.
I love this topic.
He was afraid of it. This is what he wanted. This was the last place he wanted to be. No succession plan, adrift at the quarterback position. Nothing in the chamber, nothing ready to go, no plan. And you're just sort of casting about at that position.
He's winging it.
Okay, this is the last place he wanted to be. So we have a couple more days on this topic. We do have to circle back to Mookie Betts, Maz.
No problem.
Let's see if we can get any movement on you on that one after Murray's update here.
Did they say it?
Oh, I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No throw. That is a stolen base. Mookie Betts has stolen the first base of the 2020 World Series. Lasnow has struck out seven. There goes Betts. Double steal. Throw batting is too late. And he is greeted by Betts. A shot into right. Back at the line. It is gone. One pitch. One more run. And the first Dodger postseason home run for Mookie Betts. How about another hit? Red Sox fans are watching this going, hello, why did we trade this guy? How can they not afford Mookie Betts?
All right, so we hit on this earlier, but, you know, Maz has been critical of Mookie Betts, not willing to admit defeat after that epic performance last night.
Nope.
Why?
Because, again, the short term and the long term are two different things. Of course Mookie's a good player right now. I've never contested that point. My only point was when the guy doesn't want to be here and you're entering the final year of a contract, you trade him. You trade him. Sorry, this is the reality of pro sports in this day and age. And so I know Red Sox fans think I hate Mookie Betts, and that's fine. You can continue to think that. I don't. What I don't like is letting a player like that walk and get nothing for him. And I will say this. They screwed up on the timing of the deal. They should have moved him at the trading deadline in 2019. They did not. Once that happened, they were obligated, I think, to move him during the offseason. And given the way this year went, I think they did the right thing. Mookie Betts being here would not have changed this season. They might have won a couple of more games, but they weren't going anywhere, not with that pitching staff. So you got a couple pieces for him. And does that mean you got a fair trade? Nope.
You have to admit some defeat, Maz. Or you have to be fair. You know, last week, I think you wrote a story on our website that said Mookie Betts, Mr. Ottober.
Yes, correct.
Like zero, you know what I mean? Yeah. Right? Like, so call him some sort of choking dog or something like that. And he has a night like that in the World Series.
You've pretty good.
You've got to, you know.
Yeah, I'll give him that. But I would also tell you there's a reason why I wrote it on Friday. Beach. So I admit that. Like, I'll tell you that. I think I even said that on the air. Like, well, I better get this one out quick because this is going to change if he gets hot. Because he can, we all know he can play. It was probably just a matter of time till he produced. Now, look, he still does just have, what is it, two home runs in the postseason? The one last night was opposite field, but they were up 6-1. I mean, so.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just
saying. Come on, Maz.
I'm just saying.
That's not being fair.
No. Yeah,
that's what he did in that World Series game against the Dodgers with the Red Sox.
At least this one wasn't against Clayton Kershaw. So I'll give him that. But look, it was a fabulous, he played a fabulous game.
How'd you feel about the run he scored on the stolen bases and the ground ball?
Tremendous. And I told you, this to me was the highlight worth celebrating. Because the fact is that there isn't anybody in baseball that does this anymore. Mookie walked, stole second, stole third, and then stole a run coming home on a ground ball with the infield in. And then you want to add the home run and the defense on top of it. Now we're talking. So, like, I look at but that play.
He actually played baseball.
That was a baseball play. It was a baseball play. The whole thing was a baseball sequence where you looked at it and said, that's the kind of crap Ricky Henderson used to do. Like, you know, and they just don't play the game the same way now. Wasn't that fun to watch? Like, to me, that's the fun stuff. That was the good stuff. Instead of a guy just going up there and swinging from his ass. And Mookie's not that kind of player, okay? But that's the good stuff. So, yes, I mean, it would not surprise me in the least bit. He was too good a player to play as badly as he did in the postseason.
So,
okay, too good.
To me, the story on Betts that we should be asking is not why the Red Sox didn't re-sign him. I think they might have really tried. I think they might have, you know, given a bigger number than even, you know, we realize. And again, based on something I'd heard earlier in the summer that was totally unreliable, but I'm wondering if there was some validity to it. That the Red Sox did actually match his number, and he didn't want to be here anyway. I think there's a possibility of that. And to me, the bigger story is that, why didn't he want to be here? What did they say about you or Fenway Park or the atmosphere for maybe it's a racial thing? You know, African-American players here have a very spotty record, and maybe that – or a spotty
– past.
A spotty past, and, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say there, that the – it's not been a very hospitable place for him in the past, and maybe that continues. Maybe that's the story, or there's just something else beyond that, or maybe it has nothing to do with that, and it has something to do with something else. But it has something to do with something, that a homegrown player who experienced a tremendous amount of success and winning here didn't want to be here. Like, that to me is the story.
Sure. Yeah, sure. That's a scary thing.
Why didn't he want to be here?
Well, that's a scary thing. I don't know. If it's about the intensity of the market, that's one thing. If it's because of, you know, the city's history and the organization's history.
His experience is all that should matter.
Right, I mean, all of it.
I mean, he shouldn't want to leave because of Tom Yawkey or something like that.
No, it should be
his present-day experience.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. And if that's the case, well, that potentially will affect your ability to get other players. So that should worry you more.
So to me, that's the bigger story. All right, to your last little flurry of phones here, we got to rifle through this. Paul in Maine, go.
Yeah, hey guys. Like everybody else, my love for baseball has been stretched to its limits lately. I mean, the current state of the game is atrocious, and the actual art of playing baseball is like your sex life after 40. It's mostly dried up and gone away. Yeah. But guys, when Mookie stole second, then third, and then scored in that beautifully timed slide last night, I remembered why this game can be so friggin' good. That's how baseball needs to be played. I just hope the rest of the league was paying attention to it. And, Maz, I totally agree. The Sox did the logical thing when they traded Mookie. I mean, you had to get something back for the guy. Otherwise, it's a total loss. And he sure as hell wouldn't have made a difference on our pathetic team of bums this year.
Okay. Thank you, Paul, for the call. Tony in Stoneham. Go, Tony.
I got to talk about the football thing.
Go, quick.
You guys are way, way off. They did not want – what's the name? Belichick makes the decision for the owner makes no decision when it comes to football. He's the one who decided to trade Garoppolo, and he made the right decision. You got a 6th Super Bowl, and the reason Brady wanted to leave afterwards is because he wasn't getting any help and no one to throw to. And that's why he wanted to leave.
You don't think Kraft influences football decisions, Tony?
Absolutely not. Belichick, they will discuss it, but Belichick has the last word.
Really?
That's the agreement.
Really? Why do you think Antonio Brown was released last year? Curious.
Because of the case that came out against them.
And you think that Belichick cares about that or Kraft cares about that?
I think they both care about it, but the fact that the case came out and he was going to be suspended.
Mm. Okay.
And that's it. But Belichick makes the final decisions on football matters. And, of course, he talks to Kraft about this.
He talks to him. So, I mean, if it's all up to Bill, why does he even talk to him then? I think you're being naive, Tony. I think not just Kraft, but any NFL owner has a major say in the big ticket items. And the quarterback qualifies as the big ticket item. The ownership absolutely makes the calls on those guys. Never mind high-paid receivers with spotted pass and, you know, that are a hit to their brand. Please.
Kraft was too late in deciding that Belichick was going to outlast Brady. Took him too long to get there. And had he gotten there sooner, they'd still have Garoppolo. That's really what the mistake was.
Tom and Quincy, quick.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, let me just stop by saying, I've never said that Mookie Betts isn't a good player. He's a very good player. That over-the-top praise of him last night was vomit-inducing.
I agree.
Okay, so why do you agree?
So it was the one comment in particular by Kenny Rosenthal that he's the LeBron James of baseball. What? Now, look, I'm not going to be a wise ass here. I understand what Kenny was trying to say.
Yeah, he's making a point that you don't trade a guy like that.
Okay, but to call him the LeBron James of baseball, and then I read another story in The Athletic this week where they were talking about Mookie Betts' leadership and they compared him to Michael Jordan. Can we slow down a little bit? Just a little bit? Can we pump the brakes just a little? LeBron James and Michael Jordan may be the two greatest basketball players of all time for a limited list to two, or two of the top three. Is Mookie one of the top three players in the history of baseball? He's got one title so far. He's probably going to have two in a matter of days here. But let's not go crazy. LeBron James has been to 10 finals. Michael Jordan won 6 championships. We're talking about two of the greatest athletes in the history of American sports. Mookie's not there yet.
Okay, there's more meat on this bone. We will return tomorrow at 2 p.m. to continue the Betts and Garoppolo conversation.
After he goes 3-for-4 or 2 triples, a homer, and a diamond catch tonight.
But coming up next is the final word.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair.
Nobody.
Tire, nobody.
Nope.
You gave a heads up to the people yesterday that we weren't going to have the 10 questions recap with Greg Bedard until today.
Beautiful.
Here we go.
Love it.
The one up against the wall, overrated.
Fill in the blank. Zeke Elliott is
overpaid.
That's it? That's all you're going?
Yeah, go. Mike Vrabel's intentional too many men on the field penalty on Sunday was
tremendous.
Belichickian is the word I used.
I didn't know that. When I saw Romeo Crennel go for 2 up 7 points late in Tennessee on Sunday, I wanted to
bring back Bill O'Brien.
The Dolphins' decision to bench Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has him at 3-3 and in second place in the division, and go with rookie Tua is what? Fill in the blank.
It's premature, and also I think Brian Flores trying to look really smart.
Okay, fill in the blank. Last night's Bills-Chiefs game told me
that. Do you remember that game, how much they blitzed Patrick Mahomes and then were absolutely torched?
Next. Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield, Phillip Rivers. Worst tool bag to the best tool bag.
Rodgers is the worst simply for that end premature end zone.
Rivers, Mayfield, Rodgers. Rivers sucks.
He's always been overrated. And stop making children.
My favorite question of 10 questions ever. I don't know why this came to me, but it came to me. Which wife of an NFL coach do you feel most sorry for?
I had a hard time picking out somebody, but I
didn't. Oh, not me. Linda Holiday. Did you pick up dinner on the way home?
Now you have to be the wife of an NFL head coach. Who do you choose?
If this is going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my in the mashed potato.
So I don't obviously don't know the reference, but I understand what he's talking about.
I'm with, what's her name again, the woman who called? Marion Manchester?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, she liked who, Vrabel?
Vrabel.
Vrabel's a stud.
Yeah, he's in there.
He is. He's a stud. He is a handsome fella.
Haven't gotten
he must have done well in college.
Let's do this right now. The Mimecast email today.
It's the Mimecast email of the day.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
I abhor you.
And I think Maz is a douche.
Email Day is protected by Mimecast, the number one cloud email security and resilience companion from Microsoft 365. Safeguard your organization against phishing and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. That's Mime, M-I-M-E-C-A-S-T.com. Relentless protection, resilient world. Jared writes in, subject line, moron. Email.
That could be about anything.
Email is simply this, three words, you're a moron, period, paragraph. So that came at 2:36. What could that have been? Garoppolo.
Oh, today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to be about Garoppolo.
Yeah. I mean, all I was doing there was facilitating.
Yes, correct.
I mean, I came out of the gates guns blazing with facilitation.
No, but that's one of your real skills is that you can irritate the crap out of people just by facilitating. Like Rondo.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.